Good morning, I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9, a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program for the listeners of FM 94.9 and San Diego and all of Southern California, from the beaches to the mountains to the deserts. This is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. San Diego County is considered to be a hotspot of biological diversity and contains more threatened and more endangered species than any other county in the entire continental United States. The county supports at least 380 rare and sensitive species, nearly 40 of which are listed as endangered or threatened. And San Diego County also contains a unique assemblage of vegetation communities, including coastal sage scrub, chaparral, riparian habitats, oak woodlands and grasslands, coastal salt marshes and vernal pools, all of which are rapidly vanishing for more and more mesa tops and meadows as development continues to push further and further inland. The endangerment of species in San Diego and elsewhere throughout Southern California and the Southwest is due in large part to the destruction and fragmentation of habitat. And if you enjoy the outdoors and getting outside for a hike or a run or mountain biking, you might be moving along so fast on the trail or simply so into the trail experience and taking in the big views, you may miss all the amazing flora and fauna often right at your feet. Enjoying an outing with the San Diego Canyoneers is a pretty good way to enhance your outdoor experience and a good way to begin appreciating everything around you on the way to a trail destination. The Canyoneers are outdoor docents for the San Diego Natural History Museum in Balboa Park, and their mission is to interpret the natural world through research, education, and exhibits in conjunction with the Natural History Museum, promote understanding of the evolution and diversity of Southern California and the Baja Peninsula, and to inspire in all people an appreciation for and respect for the environment. And that makes the San Diego Natural History Museum Canyoneers outstanding fodder for discussion on Tree Huggers International. So joining us today on Tree Huggers to talk all about the Canyoneers is Bill Howell, a longtime Canyoneer and the chief trainer for the San Diego Canyoneers organization, as well as a mentor to generations of Canyoneers. And also joining us is volunteer Canyoneer Cara Furio, who's been walking and volunteering with the organization for 7 years now. Bill, Cara, welcome to Tree Huggers International. It's great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
I wanted to ask, how long have the Canyoneers been making their outings, and have you always been affiliated with the Natural History Museum?
In 1973, we started in Florida Canyon. I think there was some development started nearby, and some of the members of the museum were concerned. So a group of ladies, they were all ladies back then, I don't know if they had tennis shoes or not, but they were the little old ladies. And they said, this is not going to happen in our neighborhood. So they threw together a training program. They learned about the birds, the bugs, the boulders, whatever, in the Florida Canyon area, and started hiking there. And they let the city fathers know that that's a place where they hike, and you can't be building stuff in Florida Canyon. And they won. And that's how the Canyoneers started. At that time, we were called the Florida Canyoneers, and we walked or hiked only in that canyon. And then we suddenly got out of control and we're all over the county. We do hikes in the desert. We do hikes in the wetlands. We do hikes in the mountains, the valleys, you name it, from our birthplace in Florida Canyon.
So it all started in Florida Canyon in 1973. Well, now you're a native of San Diego as well, Bill.
I was born here.
Are there some areas around National City or where you grew up, whether it's a canyon or some great area that's gone with development now, that you really miss?
Right across the street from where I grew up, we had a place called the Sliding Hill. The neighborhood kids would slide down that hill. And that was my first experience with Cholla.
Cholla cactus.
Cholla cactus. And you could just picture me sliding down that hill. Ended up with a squeaky voice. But I've loved Cholla ever since.
And then, Cara, you moved here from Vermont.
Yes.
So this must have been such a big change coming from Vermont and maples there and the four seasons. Then you came to Southern California. What did you think when you got here?
Initially, I hated it. I moved here kicking and screaming. I did not want to leave the Northeast. San Diego looked very barren to me, very empty, desolate. The only green areas were irrigated areas. So for a long time, I did not like living here. I had grown up in Vermont living off the land. I lived in the country. We were very poor. Actually, today I found out my diet was very rich. We grew up eating wild mushrooms. Our freezer was always full. We grew up eating wild edibles. For meat, my father would hunt every year, and we'd have venison in our freezer. And that's what fed all of us. So I grew up with this deep husbandry with the land. Just loved nature. And when I moved here, for a long time, I didn't appreciate it. Finally, I decided that it was time to get to know the land here, because it was obvious I wasn't going to be moving away anytime soon. And I decided to learn how to appreciate living here. And a friend of mine had gone through training in Mission Trails Regional Park to become a trail guide. And she had also been going through what we call nature deficit disorder, which is very common these days. She invited me to join the Canyoneer program because she was also going through the Canyoneer training. And I thought, well, why not finally learn about this place that I have found so hostile all these years?
And so once you started doing that, was it like turning a key or opening up a
door? Oh my God, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing, because where I might have looked at the chaparral before and seen just shrubs, I understood the shrubs. I understood what they were and their purpose. And when I lead hikes now, I tell people that to appreciate the nature in San Diego, frequently you have to get down on the ground like a lizard, right on your belly, and observe nature up real close. And that way you can gain a better appreciation and understanding of how much is really here. At this point in my life, I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Now, Bill, now you do a lot of the training for the Canyoneers. In fact, you've trained nearly everyone with the Canyoneers. Is that correct?
Probably 80% of the Canyoneers now have been trained by me and our training team.
So I suppose you get all kinds of folks with different backgrounds and different outdoor experiences. Is there a consistent way you train everyone, or is it a little different for everybody?
Interesting question, because obviously in a classroom setting, we train everybody the same. I often facetiously say, we're going to train you as clones, but we're aware that once you get on the trail, your personality, your personal interests, your background will sort of take over, and you will personalize your hike and improve it. We have a basic training, so it is important that you have something to say when you're leading people on the hike. It would be nice to know the names of most of the plants, most of the birds, and a little bit about geology. You mentioned the flora and the fauna earlier. This is also I don't know if you'd call it a geology hotspot, but very geologically diverse here in the San Diego region. San Diego was born as a result of a collision or a subduction zone. Over the years, over the eons, we have been part of a spreading center and the famous San Andreas Fault. So those three features have developed an interesting geology. And of course, what lives on the geology are the flora and the fauna.
One of the most interesting things that I found about coming to Southern California, especially from growing up in Pennsylvania and living in the Pacific Northwest, is here you can see the Earth in action. You can actually walk up and see fault zones. You can walk up and touch them. And it's pretty remarkable. And you can't necessarily do that in the Pacific Northwest because it's so lush. And here it's all rather accessible. And that is another really interesting component about the outdoors and being on the trail around here. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it isn't often emphasized. And there are really wonderful places you can go to. The mountains here, they're all fault blocks. It's really remarkable.
Well, we talk about the flora and the fauna. I've added the geology, but there's a cultural component. We have an interesting history in San Diego that we incorporate into our training and therefore on our hikes with the public. The Indians, the folks that were here before most of us, and their contribution to the environment and their contribution to the region. So that's part of our training as well. We have a bird section, we have a bug section, we have plants, we have rocks, we have history, etc.
Mammals.
You name it. We've got a 10-week course that is loaded with information on the area. It's probably a fairly unique program. I don't know on any college campus where you can get such a diverse background. So you have something to say when you lead a hike.
I touched a bit on the basics of the mission of the Canyoneers earlier. Kara, I was wondering if you could expand on that idea of the mission a little bit. What else do the Canyoneers seek to bring to the table?
I think it's personal to each Canyoneer. After we develop our training, we have our basic, as Bill mentioned, core training to get people out into nature, help them learn to appreciate nature, help them to see it with different eyes. I seek to get people out on the trail having fun. That's one of my, first and foremost, I tell people on my hikes, come out and have fun. Forget about the office, forget about being inside, you're outside now. Be like a kid again. I tell people, come out with your ADD personality. When you see a butterfly, stop us. Announce that you see a butterfly. Learn to experience the joy of being outside. Touch it, taste, feel. Don't touch Choya, of course, teddy bear Choya. But that's part of what I try to bring on my hikes is a sense of joy, a sense of bliss, a sense of letting go, and let that kid out, that inner kid, and see how much beauty is really here and how incredibly diverse the area is.
So. Bill, do you think there's a steady supply of Canyoneers, or I suppose it varies from year to year?
It does vary from year to year. We have some people that have been around forever, and then we have new people coming in all the time. We have a fairly small class this year. We have about 10. We've had classes over 30 in the past.
The year I became a Canyoneer, there were 20 of us in the class, and we went down in history as the most rowdy group of Canyoneer students ever.
Why am I not surprised to hear that?
We had a lot of fun. We tested our teachers. But then we went out, and I think that we've had, our class is one of the classes that has had some of the highest retention rate, most active Canyoneers.
If folks want to become a Canyoneer or they want to get more information on that, I mean, the website's a good place to start, correct?
Absolutely.
That's sdnhm.org/Canyoneers. And then once they voice that interest, they would fill out an application, I assume, and then they wind up getting into a pipeline to get trained, correct?
It's easy to sign up. The website is probably the way to go.
Go to the museum website, go to the volunteer section, and fill out an application online. And the Canyoneers, we have a class every fall, and that's it. And if people wanted training sooner, there is another class that starts up in Mission Trails Regional Park, and we have a lot of people that cross over. And this class starts in January, Bill. And Bill teaches that one as well, with pretty much the same team.
Kara mentioned that she emphasizes let's have fun on the trail. We don't just learn the names of the plants and the animals and so on. We spend a lot of energy exploring interrelationships between the plants and the animals in that environment. And we're loaded with trail trivia, little interesting stories of the interrelationships. We see galls on oaks and, you know, what are they and why are they there and so on. We look forward to watching tarantula hawks flying around. Tarantula hawks are wasps who are looking for tarantulas to take on and tussle with and paralyze and lay an egg on. So that's worth pricking up your interest on the trail.
There are many unique plant adaptations and animal adaptations to San Diego County. One of my favorites is we have a lizard that shoots blood from its eyes. It's called a coast horned lizard, and it looks like a little dinosaur. It actually is a distant cousin to the lizard that many people have in their aquariums at home, bearded dragons. Kind of similar to them, but this little lizard just looks like a dinosaur left over. They're getting harder and harder to find, especially in the coastal areas. You can still find quite a few out in the mountains and deserts. It eats a huge amount of California ants. It's a harvester ant, right, Bill? Because its habitat is declining, it needs the chaparral and coastal sage scrub habitat. And with that decline, its food source is declining. And also with the invasion of the Argentine ant taking over the habitat of the California harvester ant. So they are in decline, but they're just adorable. They're very docile.
They're adorable except when they shoot blood at you.
Well, you know, I've been close to many, and they have not perceived me to be a threat. But when an animal is pursuing them, they will shoot this blood out their eyes. There's actually a little gland around the area of their eyes where they shoot the blood.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. I'm Tommy Howell, and joining us today is Bill Howell, a longtime canyoneer and the chief trainer for the San Diego Canyoneers organization. And also joining us is volunteer canyoneer Cara Furio. We're talking about the San Diego Natural History Museum Canyoneers. You know, you mentioned the Argentine ant, and that sounds like an invasive species. Over time, have you found that some of the areas, the plant areas and the plant communities and the animals have been modified and changed and even threatened by invasive species? And I don't just mean grass after a fire. I mean something that is clearly foreign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A good example is pampas grass. That's an invasive that just chokes out and wipes out native plants. Another one is fennel. It's a beautiful plant. The swallowtail butterflies enjoy feeding on that plant. But again, it chokes out native species. Wild mustard chokes out native species. Did you know tumbleweed from the old country westerns? Tumbleweed is not native to this country. It's Russian thistle.
It's Russian?
Russian thistle. So when you hear that song about tumbling tumbleweed, it doesn't belong here. And it crowds out. I mean, for instance, this coast horned lizard can't survive. The harvester ant loves to collect the seeds of the buckwheat. With that plant losing habitat, and it's part of the coastal sage scrub community, there goes the food for the harvester ant, and there goes the ant for the coast horned lizard. And fires really do a number on these little guys, too. Before the 2003 fires, I live close to Mission Trails Regional Park, and I spend a lot of time there personally as well as leading hikes out there. And I was finding little baby horned lizards all over the place and moving them off the trail. After the fires, I have seen one. And in talking also about the fires, what happens over time, if you have too many fires, and I'm sure Rick Halsey, one of your guests, addressed this issue, but if you have too many fires in an area over time, you actually make it, you kill the area. Totally, it becomes a dead zone. And the only thing that can grow in there are these invasive species. If you wipe out a food source or a plant that one of our birds nests in, you're wiping out a species. And this is happening over time with the shrinking habitats.
You mentioned the invasive species. There's another way of looking at that, and it has to do with the human impact. Florida Canyon, again, we used to have hikes there almost every week. It became a homeless encampment, and you couldn't even have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in that area picking up trash because of needles, etc. It was finally cleaned out, and the area has been improved, but the impact still remains in Florida Canyon and other places. So there's a human impact. There's an impact of the alien plants. So things are changing. The Southwest is drying out over time. The fire in the Cuyamacas. We're not quite sure how that area will return. Most of the pines that were burned will not come back. Many of the oaks that often survive fires, oaks do very well with fires. Some of the oaks burned clear down into their root zone. We shall see.
One of the most enduring mental images of California for me is that ideally green Central Coast or Bay Area hillside dotted with oak trees in the springtime. And there's some of that kind of oak community here in San Diego County. When I think of it around here, I think of Santa Isabel, but really you have to go north of LA to start seeing that. But where else in the county, or where else even in Baja, can you find that classic kind of California oak woodland?
You mentioned San Isabel.
Yeah.
Perfect place. And there are other islands of oak habitat here and there. All over the Cuyamacas is a mixed forest of the conifers, mostly the Jeffrey pine, and the Kellogg oak, or the black oak, which is a unique oak in San Diego because it is deciduous. It sheds its leaves. It looks like an oak from back east. More dominant oaks in the area would be the live oaks, so-called live oaks, because they're green all year. So the coast live oak and a few others dominate the region. The oak also was an incredibly important resource for the Kumeyaay Indians in the area. And that's part of our training as well. We have Indian stories for the oaks and other flora and fauna in the area. So we do the flora and the fauna and the geology and the history and the Indians, and we mix them all in on the trail.
Some of the things that we as canyoneers try to do, some of the messages we try and get through to the public, don't be afraid of our environment. San Diego is a very harsh environment. We always recommend that you hike with somebody that you know where you're going. It's great to go out with the canyoneers. This way you're with a group and you're safe. We do have many animals that are both fascinating and dangerous in San Diego. We have several kinds of rattlesnakes that live here, and this is their home. You shouldn't be afraid of them. You should learn about them, but give them a wide berth and understand that they are there. I've even been struck out on the trail, and it's amazing how fast a person can move. So it's always good to be with other people. We have mountain lions that live in San Diego. Negative encounters with humans are very rare. You don't need to fear them, but you do need to respect them. And these are some of the things that we talk about out there when we're in the field. I've even been places where you can see the tracks of a mountain lion chasing a bighorn sheep. Seriously, right in the riverbed, you can see the bighorn sheep running for its life in the tracks, and you can see the mountain lion prints right after the bighorn sheep. And also some of our plants, the jumping cholla. So tempting to touch it, but as Bill can attest, it leaves a permanent imprint in your body and is very dangerous. It's adorable, also known as teddy bear cholla. And
it can affect your voice.
Oh, yeah. People want to touch it, but don't go there. So getting to know San Diego with a group is so important. The desert, too. A lot of people perish out in Arianza-Borrego Desert every year. They just don't realize how hostile an environment that is. And the animals and plants that live there have adapted through time. Human beings have a very difficult time adapting to an environment like that. I used to be petrified of rattlesnakes. And it used to be almost every time I would go out there, and I'm a very careful person, I have very heightened senses, I don't wear headphones when I'm hiking, but inevitably I used to almost step on a rattlesnake. And my dog was bit in the face by a rattlesnake. And so I used to have this incredible fear, because in Vermont, we had the timber rattler, but you never saw it. I mean, the land was so different where I grew up. Whereas out here, I was petrified of these snakes and mountain lions and other things that could get me. And the way I overcame that was through education. Now I look forward to seeing a rattlesnake on the trail. It's really exciting, and it's a great opportunity to teach people about these amazing critters and their adaptations and how vital they are to this environment. If I know that we're in a mountain lion area, that's a great opportunity to teach people about the vital role that a mountain lion plays in our ecosystem, and the coyotes and the bobcats. So it's an amazing place we have here, and I encourage people to understand it.
We don't preach on the trail. We are green, we are environmentalists, but you can turn people off. We just share the beauty of our environment. And it sort of speaks for itself. We don't have to preach. It's just fun to share the environmental spirituality that we can see out there. My background is a biology teacher, so it makes it easy to involve myself in the training program. But I also like to be out there on the trail and watch people with an attitude change about a dusty, ugly trail that really has stories to tell. The plants have personalities. The animals have interrelationships with that environment, which is special and unique. People say, well, let's go to the redwoods. Let's go to the Rocky Mountains. Nobody says, let's walk through the chaparral. But in Southern California, that's our main habitat. In fact, all of California, the dominant habitat is the chaparral. And that's our headquarters, the chaparral.
Becoming a canyoneer revived me from my nature deficit disorder that I was suffering from. I know I use that word a lot, but it's true. and has taught me a great appreciation for what we have in San Diego. Gets me outside. It gets me out on the trails. Being a canyoneer takes me to places in the county I've never been before. It amazes me how people can live in an area for 26 years and never go visit the Anza Borrego Desert. And I love, like Bill, I love to see people come alive out in nature. I love to see people start using all their senses rather than just what we need for the day-to-day life. So those are all fun for me, helping people reconnect with nature, reconnect with their intuition, and awaken their senses to what we have around us. And I think one of my favorite stories about people on the trail is I do lead a hike a couple times a year for a community college geography class. And so on those hikes, I frequently have people that are not always willing participants. They're there because they want the grade. And I remember one group of students were very much into their cell phones. We had to remind them to take the iPods out of their ears. And they thought they were really cool. Well, by the end of the hike, when we saw this great big red diamond rattlesnake, those boys were eating out of my hand. And they weren't so cool anymore. And by the time we got back to the visitor center, this happened to be a hike in Mission Trails, those boys were so enthused about nature. Suddenly, because they saw this vicious snake, of course, we all know they're not vicious, but because they saw this snake that was tougher than they were, they suddenly had gained an appreciation for nature and a hike that they did not want to go on to begin with. They just wanted the grade. By the end of the hike, they were just so excited about nature and so ready to learn more. So that gets me out of bed early in the mornings on the weekend and out on the trail with the public.
And understand that there's more to the outdoors than necessarily challenging or conquering something. There's just being a part of it and enjoying it for what it is. Bill Howell, Cara Furio, San Diego Canyoneers, I have thoroughly enjoyed having you guys in today. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. It was just great having you in. I encourage everyone to go to the Canyoneers website. That's www.sdnhm.org, Canyoneers. You can find more information about becoming a Canyoneer. If that's something you'd like to do, you can find a schedule of outings. And may I remind you, it's completely free. Hope to see you guys next time, and I hope to join you on an outing sometime, too. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by, and we'll talk to you next time. That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. Many thanks again to our guests from the San Diego Natural History Museum Canyoneers, Bill Howell, longtime Canyoneer and the chief trainer for the Canyoneers, and also Canyoneer volunteer, trail leader, and all-around San Diego outdoor enthusiast, Cara Furio. To learn more about the Canyoneers' mission, which we barely scratched the surface of today, their hikes and their outings, and to see a schedule of where they'll be and when, go to the Canyoneers' website at www.sdnhm.org/canyoneers. And SDNHM, that stands for the San Diego Natural History Museum. www.sdnhm.org/canyoneers. And the root website for the San Diego Natural History Museum, which of course the Canyoneers are a part of, is www.sdnhm.org. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM 94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media, and as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, happy to hear from you. Let me know. You can email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. And for more information on Tree Huggers International and to hear previous editions of the show, you can go to the Tree Huggers International page at the FM 94.9 website, fm949sd.com/treehuggers. Or just go to the FM 94.9 homepage and click on the Tree Huggers International logo. I'm Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International on KBZT FM 94.9. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 5:30 with another take on natural science and environmental affairs, and our corner of Southern California, and elsewhere. But in the meantime, get ready for another edition of Nina Blackwood's New Wave Nation. It's on the way next on FM 94.9. Have a great Sunday and a good week, and get out with a Canyoneer sometime and stretch your legs. Be well.